Well, welcome to the LifePoint Drive Cast. My name is Lee, and I am the teaching pastor at our Plain City location. And we have officially jumped into the fall, our fall series. And it feels like while we still got a little bit of summer left, I imagine if your family, if you've got children like mine, we're off to school, and it feels like the fall is here and all the craziness that ensues with that. But we're also beginning, as we've just finished up our summer series, to really kick off our fall, about leaning into some what historically have been some controversial topics. And even more recently, I think these topics can get a little bit more interest because of the world in which we live. So much of our life is lived online. So much of what we see is influenced by reels that we watch or things that are posted on our social media. And the things that we're going to be covering over the next few weeks really are not things that are simple answers that can be, you know, really worked through in a short amount of time. And oftentimes the headlines that we see in our culture don't really do justice to really what's going on behind that. And so this past week, if you've been following along, it's been really good to hear from our other teaching pastors and how we're trying to lean into this topic around violence. And the question that maybe undergirds a lot of that is does God condone or advocate for violence? And maybe even underneath that more is there's a wrestling attention that can be among especially believers is how do I reconcile what I know about God? God is love. You know, we see the love of God demonstrated in the life of Jesus. And how do we reconcile passages that we read, particularly in the Old Testament around the conquest of Cana, where it seems that God is commanding his people to commit mass murder or even genocide sometimes. And so how do we think through that? How do we reconcile those things? And I listened to a really helpful podcast on Think Biblically with Sean McDowell that is fantastic around this. I believe it's something titled around the lanes of Is God a Genocidal Maniac? And so it's really is done, I think, back in 2020, but they do a really great job. He has a professor from Biola talk through kind of four different perspectives on it that I thought were really interesting in this, that I thought did some really good contextual and textual arguments, as well as I think leaning into the real ethical questions that are there. And so it's a nuanced conversation, and I learned a ton, honestly, personally, just walking through this, as I'm sure hopefully you did on Sunday, hearing whatever campus that you were at, your teaching pastor leaning into that. And so for me, the way that I walked through this issue was really around three main points. That really, when it comes to violence, we've got to first look with the reality that we got to deal with evil in our world. That because the evil is present through rebellion and sin, violence is a consequence of that. And we live in a world where there is evil. And when there is evil, we have to confront evil. And oftentimes, confronting evil means delivering justice. It means executing and using some level of violence, whether that's arresting, whether that's in fights, most certainly in war. And so we wrestle with this, not just from a Christian perspective, but from a human perspective. How do we think about war and violence and murder and self-defense and other kinds of issues related to violence? And so I think as I thought through this, in particularly in thinking about violence, is the fact that God created a good and beautiful world, but he also created people and even beings such as angels with this ability to choose to love, worship, and obey. Also the ability to choose to disobey, to rebel, and to worship someone or something else. And we know the chief of that is Satan, who rebelled, and a third of the angels fell from heaven in rebellion against God, bringing about evil and wickedness among the earth and among the world and influencing us. And we know as human beings, Adam and Eve, they sinned, they disobeyed. Rather than trusting God and obeying him to go to for the source of good and evil, they took that in their own hands. And that meant that evil has come in us, wickedness has come in us. But the beautiful hope that we have throughout this whole theme is while God confronts evil and violence, God is going after sin. And it doesn't matter what that looks like, whether that's in murder, whether that's in a culture or civilization. The reason God goes after violence in the world is because God is confronting injustice and sin in our world. And I talked about Sunday that that should both comfort us and confront us. That it should comfort us that we live in a world and that we have a God as ruling and reigning over all things, that he will deliver justice here and now, that somebody breaks the law, that there are governments, there are laws in place that hopefully deliver justice in a way that is equitable, that is fair in, to some degree, that that's what we would advocate for and fight for, that we as the people of God advocate for justice in our culture, in our world, fighting for the unborn, fighting for the immigrant and the alien, fighting for ending racism, things that of a matter of injustices in our world that we want to help be on the front lines to oppose and go against, that it should comfort us that our God cares about that, that even if somebody were to somehow get underneath all the get away with injustice their entire lives, they will stand before a holy and just God, and they will experience the consequences for their decisions. That should comfort us, but it should also confront us, because as we look at that, we see that we're not often great at delivering justice and righteousness, that we often want justice on our behalf, but when it comes to us, we want grace because we fall short, we break the rules, we rebel. And the reality that we too are going to stand before a holy and just God, and we will have to answer for our rebellion. And if God is just and fair, we should get what we deserve, an eternity separated from God in heaven, in hell, excuse me. But that's not the end of our story that I talked about, and I end on Sunday, this demonstration of faith that we got to deal with evil. We've got to deliver justice. We see God doing in the conquest of Cana, where he's executing justice against a people that are wicked and broken. And in that point in time, to be faithful to the promise to give his people a land where he is going to dwell and to be a holy people, a holy nation set apart to display his character and nature to the world. And so that is a unique event in history. But we also see this beauty of demonstrating faith in the life of Rahab, who was a part of that rebellious people, who had a rebellious past. She was a prostitute. She had made bad decision after bad decision, and yet her faith and belief in the God of the Bible, in Yahweh, that he is the one true God, and that her city has been delivered into God's hands, and she had her faith and trust in him so much so that when you look at the lineage of Jesus, our Savior, in Matthew, Rahab is listed in that genealogy. Rahab's faith demonstrates and shows us that a God, that our God is a God of repentance, that our God desires all men to repent and to experience eternal life through their faith and trust in him. And so we have this great hope that while we have sin in our lives and God should execute justice against us, we can look to the cross with our hope, believing that justice was delivered, that a innocent, holy, perfect human being suffered the greatest injustice, the punishment for the sin of the world upon him. And why was that just? Because sin, my sin was paid for, my sin was covered because of Jesus, that God can forgive me and grant me eternal life, receive me into his kingdom because he has dealt with my sin in his son. So I celebrate that. I rejoice in that gospel and that good news, that even when I run into things in the Bible that are hard to comprehend, that I can go to a God that I know loves me and who is dealing equitably with my sin and who invites me to trust him, to live by faith as we seek to walk with him and to do justice here on earth for his glory and our good. And so I hope you've been encouraged this week hearing from our various teaching pastors and how they've looked at it, how they leaned into this topic. And I'm excited to keep leaning into more topics like sexuality next week and slavery the following week. And I'm just so grateful to be a part of a church that doesn't shy away from the hard things, but leans into God's word to give us biblical wisdom and truth as we try to navigate some of the challenges that we live in today. Let me pray for us. I just want to give you an opportunity to pray as well. So Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. Thank you that God, even in the midst of the brokenness and evil in our world, that we've got a God who is going after sin, going after wickedness, and will oftentimes use human agents to accomplish those purposes. And Lord, we are thankful that you get to call us as your people to be people of justice, as you said in Micah, right? That what does the Lord require of us, right? To do justice, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with our God. And may we do that. May we be people who seek to make rights what is wrong in our community. May we seek to live as people, Lord, who continue to trust in your ways and in your will, God, as you seek to do good here on earth, as we look for the one day when you will deliver total justice, when you will rid us of all evil, brokenness, and despair, and will invite us into your beautiful kingdom and to bring about your peace and blessing for all eternity. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Hey, would you take a few moments and pray?